All right, well, again, I want to welcome those of you who are new here. Again, my name is Alex, and again, we're delighted if you're joining us here for the very first time. This is week 5 of our series called When Worlds Collide. If you're just joining us, you've had a When Worlds Collide experience. When you were a kid, you went to someone's house, and their family did something totally different or just things differently than your family did, or you got married and your in-laws were totally weird, or maybe in the last 10 years with all the political polarization, there's just been differences. Like, you kind of have someone that you have, like, a completely different worldview, or maybe surprising to you kind of how things have shifted in those relationships. We've been talking about, hey, when worlds collide, and they happen all the time, one of two things happens, either division or multiplication. Division is what happens when you can't quite bridge the gap. Like, there's just, the differences are too big, it's too complicated, it's too challenging. Multiplication is what happens is when you come against someone or up to someone who's smarter than you, knows something you don't know, or has some skill set that you don't have, and then you're willing to do the work. Every good coach, every good teacher, every good mentor you've ever had is a worlds colliding experience. And if you're willing to do the work to receive what they had to teach you, to open yourself up to kind of their skill set, their wisdom, their understanding, it can multiply your opportunities, multiply your wisdom, maybe multiply your skill set. So a more fruitful you. As we're looking at these first couple chapters of Jesus and the Gospel of Mark, like looking at his very first stories written down about Jesus, he's bringing this thing he calls the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God collides with this world. And what happens in the first century is the exact same thing that happens in the 21st century. It either causes division, people reject Jesus, push back against him, and eventually want to kill him. Or to anyone who's open to it, it releases multiplication. Multiply joy, multiply peace. Multiplied understanding of God, multiplied understanding of themselves, multiplied worship to the one true God. The invitation throughout this whole series is to open yourself up when your world collides with Jesus' world. The invitation and the challenge for all of us is to open ourselves up to the multiplying goodness of Jesus. I told you guys a couple months ago that my summer was a little bit miserable. You know how it was like either rained for like 50 days straight or it was like 105 degrees every day? Like it was like this nasty stretch, right? That was kind of my summer. Like all the cars broke down, the washing machine broke down, the family dog died. I mean, just like all these horrible things. So in the middle of the summer, there was an oasis, the beach, amen, the beach. The beach was gonna reset and solve everything. I love the beach. I love getting away to the beach. I was gonna get away, take a deep breath, pray, do whatever, chill at the beach, hang with family, come back. Everything was gonna be better. So go to the beach, had a great week, came back, nothing got better. In fact, it was the week after, just 1 week after getting back from the beach, I got stung by something that turned into hives, that turned into anaphylactic shock all over my body, up to my head. My throat started to close. I called 911, ambulance right around the corner, gave me an EpiPen shot. I did not die. That was my top 3 highlight of the summer right there. Not dying. Kids graduated high school. I didn't die. Like, that was kind of it. The beach didn't solve my problem. Let me ask you, have you ever looked to something or someone to fix your problems and it just didn't fix your problems? Ever thought when I get through this thing, get past the season, get past the challenge, or when this event happens, or this person in my life, I'm gonna put my hopes in that thing, and nothing changes. In the first century, there's all kinds of problems. Everyone in Israel knows those problems. They're overrun by the Roman army. Their religious life is just kind of rote and lifeless, and their leaders are totally divided and can't agree on a vision for the future. Not that we know anything about that in the 21st century. But there's all this division, and not just in Israel. The whole world, right? There's a sense that the world is broken, kind of, it's a lot of conquest, a lot of bloodbaths. I mean, it's just a brutal, horrible place. All of Israel and all the world needs renewal, refreshing. And the passage we just read, Jesus is launching literally the single most successful renewal movement in human history. And what he's gonna do and how he's going to renew a broken Israel and a broken world is completely counterintuitive to some of us. It doesn't fit into kind of the 21st century, like life hacks and shortcuts and all those sort of things. Like, this isn't a formula, but what it is a map. And what Jesus gives us is a map for how renewal actually happens, how Jesus is gonna renew the world. And then, my friends, if you're here this morning and you need renewal somewhere, anyone needs some renewal in a place? Anyone need renewal in a family relationship? Marriage, kids, grown kids, little kids, extended family? Parents, job, career, finances. Like, anyone need renewal? Today, we're gonna get Jesus' roadmap for renewal. Not a formula, not a quick fix, not a shortcut, a formula for actual long-term renewal. And what he's gonna do is going to collide with kind of what the world talks about, how the world thinks about renewal, and it's going to look unexpected in multiple ways. So let's look at this passage again, particularly the calling of the disciples. Let's pick up again in Mark 3, verse 13. It says this: Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee; his brother John, to them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, which just means they were a lot. They were kind of extra. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, who we met a few weeks ago; Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus; Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Have you ever been assigned to a group project at school or at work and looked around at who you were assigned to work with to say, this is going to be a disaster? This group of disciples is set up to be a complete, colossal disaster, okay? And we're going to talk more about this, how and why it's set up to be a complete disaster in just a few minutes. But here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is about ready to launch the single greatest renewal movement in human history. And he does a whole bunch of unexpected things with unexpected people. It's kind of confusing. So let's zoom out and talk about when worlds collide around how to renew something, how to renew a business, how to renew your family, how to renew your heart or your life, or kind of change yourself or kind of move in a more positive direction. Here's how to renew something. The world says this: look for life hacks, tips, tricks, great community, lots of self-care, and lots of hustle, right? Now let's be clear, these things aren't all bad, right? I'm all for life hacks, tips, tricks, make things smarter, work smarter, not harder, all that kind of thing. I'm all for you caring for yourself, like good self-care, 100%. Having great community, that's great. And by all means, go to work. If God's given you work to do, go to work, go to work, go to work. But what Jesus does here and how he does it just looks different from how the world says we should renew things here in the 21st century. So here's Jesus' roadmap. It's a roadmap, not a formula, a roadmap for what renewal looks like and how you might start to work renewal in your life. We're going to walk through this whole thing, and then we're going to kind of talk it through here for the rest of the message. So here's Jesus' roadmap, unexpected roadmap for renewal. He starts with unexpected people, including you. And then he puts them together in this unexpected community that should blow up, but somehow holds together by his grace and mercy. And then they get an unexpected job description. The job description has three parts. One, be with Jesus. Two, be people of the truth to receive and proclaim the truth. And then three, spiritual authority. This is how Jesus is going to change the world. This is how he's going to ruin the whole world. And we're going to walk through this here bit by bit in a little bit. But let's start with this really, really cool part. The first thing that starts is this. Jesus calls unexpected people. He calls these 12 disciples. None of them have indicated religious interest. Like none of them have said they want to be kind of professional religious people. They haven't gone to school. They're not on some sort of religious track. They haven't declared themselves pre-religious or whatever, right? They haven't gone there's nothing about them that indicates they're interested in religion. Matthew, who we looked at a couple weeks ago, Matthew was a tax collector, probably didn't even go to the temple that much, not especially religious. These people, some of them weren't even all that religious. So here's the really good news. Here's the really good news. As we look at these 12 disciples and look at who Jesus has moved in over the last 2,000 years, the good news is this: Jesus doesn't have a type. He connects with, changes, works in and through every single type, including yours. Jesus does not have a type. He calls every type. He connects with all types. He has worked through every single type, every single person in human history. Now, this is really, really good news for those of you who don't think of yourself as especially religious. For those of you who don't think of yourself especially, I'm not sure I can see myself singing the songs or jumping in, right? Some of you get dragged here by a spouse. We're so glad you're here, or you're watching online and someone's making you watch this online. So glad you're here. Listen, some of you just can't see yourself getting all into this thing. Welcome. Even if you're not a Jesus person, Jesus is your kind of a person. Right? Listen. And some of you feel like there's a whole range, right? Some of you are like, I'm too bad. I can't possibly be a Jesus person. Some of you are like, I'm too smart. I'm too pretty. I'm too clever. I'm too ambivalent. Whatever. Hey, listen, whatever your temperament, whatever your disposition, whatever your makeup, I've got really, really good news. For 2,000 years, people like you, just like you, have connected with Jesus, been called to be his follower, just like you. There's no person beyond his reach. There's no person that's too smart, too clever, too bad, too wicked, too evil, too beautiful, too ugly to be a follower of Jesus. This is a part because you were made for Jesus, and so there's a beautiful things about you in there, but more importantly, it's how amazing Jesus is. He's like the universal donor. He parachutes into any body, any heart, any spirit, and brings life. That's what he does. And so, my friends, if you're the kind of person that's always thought, I'm not a God kind of person, really good news for you. Here, Merry Christmas early. Jesus is for you. He's calling you. Called people just like you for 2,000 years. Just like you. People just like you have met and been transformed and blessed and called to serve Jesus. Now, that's really good news for all, those of us who don't see ourselves as Jesus kind of people. It's also really good news for those of us who are all in Jesus people, right? People like, because here's what's happened. Those of us who are all in Jesus kind of people, we long for family members or friends or coworkers or classmates to also become Jesus people. And here's what happens. We start to rank order people like that person is so close to following Jesus, that person, no way. And we can discount people or dismiss people or think that person's too heady or too proud or too into this or that. There's no way they could ever follow Jesus. Listen, I've got really good, because I got people like that too in my life, family members, friends, and I'm kind of like, I can't quite see them ever making the turn. They're so resistant. I got really good news for you. There is no type for Jesus. Jesus calls every type. And it starts right there in his 12 disciples. All types, every type has found a way to Jesus. And so what I want to invite us to do, those of us who are Jesus followers, those of us who are part of Chatham Community Church, here's what I want you to do. Here's my challenge for you if you're part of this community. Christmas Eve is just a handful of weeks away. And that is where we have the most number of people who aren't following Jesus in the room. It's the biggest service, it was one of the biggest services we do, and it's the most number of people who aren't following Jesus in the room. I want to challenge you to pray for two people between now and Christmas Eve that you're going to invite to Christmas Eve. Now, the one person I want to be like, a low hanging, an easy person. Someone like, okay, it's a little bit of a risk, but I can like, that person's got some church background, they've indicated spiritual interest, I can invite them to Christmas Eve. And then I want you to pray for one moonshot. One person that I can't even picture, like it would be a miracle if they came into these seats and started singing Christmas carols. Like, you're like, I can't even picture it. But you know who can picture it? The Lord can. So I want you, between now and Christmas Eve, to pray for two people that you're gonna invite to Christmas Eve. One person, a little bit easier. Another person, man, it would be a miracle if they showed up. I want to celebrate some miracles on Christmas Eve. How about that? Because there is no one type that Jesus calls. Jesus calls, works in, works through every single type. It's a beautiful thing about what Jesus does, right? So it starts with unexpected people, but he doesn't just call individuals. The next thing Jesus does is kind of form this unexpected community, this group of people that shouldn't get along. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit. A couple years ago, someone came to church. It was first time here at this kind of church. She got really involved, really plugged in. After a couple months, I said, hey, do you want to make your way to a small group? Now, she'd never heard of a small group before, never been in a small group before. In fact, last week she said, I have to admit, I thought small group might be like, you know, they're like arts and crafts in small group. Now, some of you would really like that if it was arts and crafts in small group. Me, personally, I would rather watch paint dry and plug my eyebrows at the same time than suffer through arts and crafts in small group. No arts and crafts in small group. Just talk about the Bible, talk about the passage for the week, and praying for each other and doing life together, right? That's just what small group is. So to her credit, knowing nothing about what a small group was, she walked into a random house with a group of random strangers, and 2 years later, she would say this has been one of the most formative experiences of her whole life. Because sometimes God puts you together with unexpected people and unexpected situations to shape you in ways that you couldn't imagine. That's what Jesus is doing with this group of 12 people, this unexpected community. Let's walk through who's in Jesus' 12, right? Let me just show you how much of a disaster this is waiting to happen. Let's just walk through, okay? So first off, you've got mostly blue-collar, love our nation kind of guys, right? These are like fishermen, like Peter, James, John. These are like blue-collar, love our nation, hardworking kind of guys. That's the kind of people they are. Next, you've got Matthew the tax collector. So remember, tax collectors are people that were Jews that sold out to the Romans to tax their fellow Jews and make a lot of money. So nobody likes Matthew in the circle, okay? Like, nobody likes him. All tension between Peter, James, John. They're like, I can't believe we're hanging out with this guy. But wait, it gets worse. Here's the next thing. Next, you've got Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were a political party. Their only goal in life was to drive out the Romans from Israel. That was their whole goal. That was the whole political sort of platform, right? So the Zealots were zealous for Israel to be purged of the Romans. Okay, so you've got Simon does not want anything to do with Matthew. In fact, Simon wants him to go out to Rome and go get out of here with the Romans and never be seen again. But wait, there's still more. Judas Iscariot likely means he's a part of a political terrorist group called the Daggermen. And what the Daggermen would do is they would walk around in crowded marketplaces with daggers up their robes, like these big giant robes, and they would walk around to the marketplace. They would come up behind tax collectors like Matthew, stab them in the back, and then disappear into the crowd. Political terrorists is what they were. This is Jesus' 12 guys. They're set up for disaster. There's nothing about them that would be naturally drawn to them as a group, except they're all following Jesus. And what Jesus is going to do with these 12 guys, He's going to put them in this rock tumbler for 3 years. You know what a rock tumbler is, right? Rock tumbler. Here's a picture of a fun kid rock tumbler. Rock tumbler, you add rocks. And then you add some grit, that's sand or whatever. And then you add some water, and then you churn and churn and churn and churn and churn. You put some rocks in this thing. You bounce around for a couple years, and you come out shaped, transformed as a people. My friends, you are surrounded by some wonderful rocks. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor, say neighbor. Turn to your neighbor, say neighbor. You are a wonderful rock. Wonderful rocks everywhere. Wonderful rocks everywhere. Wonderful rocks everywhere. My friends, here's the question. And if you're willing to jump into a tumbler with some of these wonderful rocks and add the grit of Jesus' teaching, his wisdom, his truth, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, add the water of the Holy Spirit, and then start walking together a year, 2 years, 3 years. What the Lord might do and wants to do in you and through you is to turn you into a beautiful rock. And maybe you help the person next to you turn into a beautiful, wonderful rock. My friends, have you found your rocks yet? Have you found your community? Maybe your unexpected community, the unexpected circle of people, maybe people that you wouldn't have handpicked yourself that Jesus is going to use to help shape you and form you into the man or woman he created you to be as you jump into the tumbler together, just do life together and watch what the Lord might do. This is how Jesus is going to change the world. Starts with unexpected people. Then he has an unexpected community. Then he has this unexpected job description. And the first part of the job description is simply this idea that it's just to be with Jesus. That's the goal. That's what Jesus wants people to do. Job description number one, just be with Jesus. This past week one morning I woke up, had a ton on my to-do list. I was way behind on my to-do list. And if you have like to-do lists, all you do is like move it to the next day, the next day, the next day, because it doesn't actually get done. That's where I've been for like the last 3 weeks. So like the to-do list was just kind of piled high, and I had a lot in my brain, and I know I talk fast, but I think even faster, okay? It's even louder in there, okay? So just congratulations, you don't have to be dealing with my inner dialogue all the time, right? So I was sitting down to try to pray and read scripture like I do almost every morning, and I had all these things I got to pray about, all these things I got to dig in, and as I sat down to pray, I had this sense from the Lord, an invitation to just be still and be present and know he loved me. Just be quiet. And so I was like, all right, Lord. So I prayed a really quick prayer. Lord, thank you for this invitation. I'm just going to try to sit here and just receive your love. So I just sat down, tried to be quiet, and I just tried to tune into the truth and the reality of the world, which is every room you're in, Jesus is the most real thing in the room. Every room you're in, every office place, every classroom, every workspace, anytime you're outside, inside, if you're out on the farm, if you're out in the fields, if you're like working in the classes, if you're at your house, Jesus is the most real thing in the room. I just tried to be awake to reality for just a few minutes. And of course I got distracted. Of course I was like chasing after all these things. I was like, oh, no. All right, Lord, back to you. Like back to you. It's like a little simple prayer, right? Okay, back to you. I did that for maybe 5 minutes, 7 minutes, completely reset all the levels, right? Just grounded me, rooted me. Like, sure, there was stuff to do, but the Lord, Jesus was Lord, and I could just receive his love. Before Jesus sends out his disciples to literally change the world, would say absolutely they're going to change the world. Their number one job description is just be with Jesus. Don't do stuff for Jesus. That's a great thing, but secondary. That's what comes after, right? Actually, just be with Jesus. My friends, do you have any kind of practice that opens you up to just being with Jesus? To just being open to him, reading the scripture, or receiving truth, grace, mercy? Especially, hey, if you've got a place in your life that needs renewal, if you've got a place in your life that needs renewal, again, your marriage, your family, your work, your career, your direction in life, if you need some renewal, here's the invitation. Start with just being with Jesus. This is how he launches his crazy renewal movement. So, unexpected roadmap for renewal, unexpected people, including you, unexpected community, including people you might not like or might not naturally be drawn to, unexpected job description. One, be with Jesus. Then secondly, be people of the truth, receiving and proclaiming the truth. Now, the actual literal word there in the book of Mark is simply to be people who preach the truth. Send them out to preach, right? We talked about being sent out to preach in my small group. Everyone's like, nope, don't want anything to do with that. Right? Sent out to preach sounds a little weird, sounds a little heavy-handed. People don't like being preached at, and I have to do it every single week, okay? So pray for me, all right? There it is. So most of us don't feel comfortable being sort of sent out to preach, but I think it's bigger than that. It's not just like standing up on soapbox and sort of shouting at people. No, we're talking about being people of the truth, knowing what's true, and proclaiming what's true. Here's why that matters so much. Have you ever acted on something that wasn't true? What happens if you trust someone that's not trustworthy? What happens? It's called scamming. Scammers, right? Some of you have had relationships, friendships, marriages. You thought someone was something. They turned to be something else. What happens when you trust someone that's not trustworthy? A whole heap of trouble, right? What happens when you don't trust someone who actually is trustworthy? Right? What happens when you believe a lie about you or the world around you? Chaos happens. Disorder happens. A whole heap of trouble happens. Sometimes regrets happen. Some of you, the biggest regrets of your life are you acted on something you thought was true, but turned out to not be true. So this is why truth matters so stinking much. We have to go be students of the truth. Jesus is going to send out disciples to change the world, but they're going to spend 3 years with him just knowing what's true about God, about themselves, and about the world and God's kingdom. How did God design this world to run? How about don't lie to each other for a start, right? How about be people of the truth? How about learning the truth, practicing the truth, and then proclaiming the truth? So here's the thing. Here's the call. Here's the invitation. First off, to learn the truth and then to speak the truth, because living out of something that's not true is always eventually terrible, even if it's kind of comfortable for you for a little bit, right? Because some lies are kind of comfortable for me for a little bit, right? Sometimes I like lying to myself, even just for a little bit. But eventually every untruth, everything that comes untrue starts to unravel. It collapses in on itself. This is what untruth does, what lies do. Jesus said it's the truth that's going to set us free, right? So he calls the disciples. He's like, I want to teach you what's true about you, about the world, about God. And then I want to send you out to proclaim the truth. So here's what we got to do. First off, we're going to become a student of the truth and then be awake to the opportunities to speak the truth in love. Later on, Paul's going to write this in the book of Galatians, one of the very first letters written in the New Testament. Paul's going to say, one of our primary jobs as Jesus followers is to speak the truth in love, always in love, right? Not self-righteously, not smugly. But Jesus is going to send out his disciples into a world that is chaotic. Right? A world swimming in untruth, partial truths, sometimes outright lies, sometimes just stuff, just ignorance. People don't know stuff, right? When you don't know stuff, but it still affects you, that could cost you. So Jesus is going to send people in the first century and the 21st century into a world swimming in misinformation, disinformation, outright lies, and just ignorance, and say, go proclaim truth, because truth is what sets people free. Do it in love, always serving the other person, always wanting to care for that person, to bring them into the truth of who God is, who they are. For the disciples, most of them, they're going to go around, they're going to actually preach, right? They're going to actually stand up on soapboxes in town squares and proclaim it. That's probably not going to be your thing, although some of you might. I mean, I'd love to hear it. Let me know. I'll come see you. I'll cheer you on. Go get them. But for most of you, it's going to look like a conversation with a classmate, a coworker. They're lost. They're confused. They're self-righteous. They're angry. And you're like, hey, can I speak into that just a little bit? Can I help you a little bit? Here's what's true about God. Here's what's true about you. And maybe that person that you're so angry at, maybe, and that conflict you're having, did you contribute a little bit of that to the world? Listen, the first step for every addiction recovery program is to admit the problem. All you do is say what's true, right? I have a problem. Like that's the first step. Coming to terms with what's true. If you want anything renewed in your life, any area of your life, first thing you've got to do is come face to face. What's actually true about me and the world around me and how God's calling me to live? If you can't deal with truth, you can never get healthy. If you don't deal with truth, you can't experience renewal. So to be a person of renewal, both personally and then to be an agent of renewal in the world, is to be an instrument that proclaims the good news. There is something true and you can know it has been revealed to us. Come, follow Jesus. Watch how walking in his truth, instead of bringing chaos, brings order. Instead of disorder, brings right relationships, right? Order, not suffocating order, not stifling order. Order that produces flourishing, produces shalom, fruitfulness. This is the invitation to be people of the truth. So you've got this last piece too, this people of the truth, be with Jesus, and then finally this spiritual authority. And Jesus talks literally about the authority to cast out demons. Now again, in my small group, people are like, oh, I don't know about that. That sounds kind of weird. I never cast out a demon. In fact, one woman said, I don't think I could ever cast out a demon. But a couple weeks ago, I was home with one of my little kids, and my little kid was scared. I don't know why he was scared. I was right there with him, but he was scared. And I felt a little weird too. So I just prayed in Jesus' name for whatever that was to be gone, and it went away. So you don't think you cast out demons, but you might have just cast out a demon? Is that what just happened? Yeah. Listen, the world is a spiritually charged place. The world is a spiritually charged place. Not everything is a demon. Not everything is a demon. Not everything is a demon. But not nothing is a demon. Somewhere between there, there's spirits, instruments, agents of the evil one. And throughout the sort of New Testament, Jesus especially likes to give us the job descriptions of the spirits of darkness. Here's the job descriptions of the spirits of darkness: steal, kill, destroy, accuse, or condemn. Any of you hear condemning voices, accusing voices? Create chaos, disorder, and lie as much as possible. That's why being people of the truth is so critical to being a Jesus person, right? Because lies are where, if you go back to the very beginning, like Genesis 3, that's where everything goes sideways. Everything goes sideways on a lie. That's how everything bad in the world happens, because we believe a lie. So we got to be people of the truth. But it's not just speaking the truth, that there are actually instruments. There are actually spiritual agents of darkness that do this kind of work. Listen, my friends, have you ever been in a situation, family or at work, where you feel like it's just lie after lie after lie? I think unraveling after unraveling after unraveling? Have you ever been experienced with someone who's trapped in an addiction and they just can't come to terms with truth or reality? Ever been in a situation where, like, there's just chaos over here and it gets louder, the noise gets worse and worse and worse? Not everything is a demon, but some things are a demon. And so we're invited to be awake and aware. Wherever we see some of those things that look like that job description, wherever we see this job description in place, there's an invitation to be cast out in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to be very, very careful. These are not magic words. They're just true words. Not magic words. They're just true. And very often when you're in a situation where there's a lot of lying, a lot of deception, a lot of brokenness, there's both a spiritual layer to it, spiritual agent, and a human agent, right? A spiritual agent and a human agent. There's a human agent. Sometimes people like to lie. Sometimes people like to deceive. Sometimes people like to manipulate and use people, right? So there's a human agent and a demonic agent sometimes. So here's the deal. If you're up against a human and a demon and you can cast out the demon, you just conquered 50% of the problem. Nice job. Way to go. All you got left before you is a stupid person. Not a stupid person and a demon. That's progress. So again, not like these aren't magic words. I'm not going to magically fix everything because people still participate in darkness all the time. But what this is an invitation. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have been given authority in his name to cast out darkness anywhere you come across it, anywhere you think it might be happening. It's okay. You don't know it. You don't understand it. Totally get it. Totally fine. People, much more foolish than you and me, have used Jesus' name and brought goodness and flourishing out of darkness and pushed back darkness. And so as Jesus launches the single greatest renewal movement in human history, it's not just about information. It's not just about do this and don't do that. It's actually about partnering with him, being proclaimers of the truth, people of the truth, and then stepping into a broken and weary world to proclaim that Jesus is Lord over every square inch of this place and to push back darkness anywhere it comes up, including instruments of darkness, including to be bold to declare the blessing of Jesus and the power of Jesus anywhere you think there might be a spiritual layer to something funky going on. That's how Jesus is going to renew the world has become today's wildly important take-homes. First off, Jesus' unexpected roadmap for renewal. If you need anything at all renewed in your life, this isn't a shortcut, not a formula. It's just a map for how renewal actually happens. It starts with unexpected people. Good news, Jesus doesn't have a type. He connects with, changes, works in and through, and calls every single type, including you. Even if you think you're too smart for this, too clever for it, don't care about it. Even if you think you're too bad for it, disqualified for it. Listen, no one is pre-disqualified from the kingdom of God. Jesus calls every type for 2,000 years. Can you be confident in that for yourself, that Jesus could call you? And can you be confident in that in how you're praying for other people? Can you just be bold in praying for people, especially people that seem super far off, that you think could never ever be a Jesus person? Maybe you love that person. Maybe you're married to that person. But can you be confident and bold just claiming that? Jesus, that person is your type. Can you call them? And maybe be bold to invite and see what God might do on Christmas Eve. Next, Jesus has an unexpected community. Like a tumbler, have you found your rocks yet? He calls these 12 guys who wouldn't get along any other way. Puts them in for 3 years with himself. It says, come along, I'm going to shape you through one another. Have you found your rocks yet? The unexpected community, the unexpected, surprising community that God might use to shape you and shape others through you. That's part of the call to be part of a church community, a church body. This is how he works from the beginning. It happened in community. Next, there's this unexpected job description. First off, just to be with Jesus. This is priority number one, be with Jesus, be with Jesus, be with Jesus. Do you have any kind of regular practice that just opens you up to the goodness and the grace mercy of Jesus. Then two, being people of the truth, receiving the truth, proclaiming the truth. What does it mean for you to be a person, a student of what's true? And then to speak the truth in love. Listen, here's what I'm confident about. If you're a Jesus follower, you are positioned for such a time as this somewhere. If you're a Jesus follower, Jesus has put you someplace to speak the truth in love to somebody. Who is Jesus calling you to speak the truth to? And if you're a Jesus follower, you need to be a person who's constantly coming back to the truth over and over again, learning it, being shaped by it. That's the truth of Jesus, who he is, what he's come to do, what the scriptures teach. And then finally, it's this great invitation to spiritual authority, to be bold, to pray for the Lord, to cast out any spiritual darkness, any place, anytime you come across it, you smell it. It might be like just being awake. This is just an invitation to you and me to be awake. Maybe there's some sort of spiritual thing happening here. And would the Lord invite you to be an instrument of grace and truth to cast that out? My friends, this really beautiful thing Jesus does. He launches the single greatest renewal movement in human history. He invites you and I to be caught up in that renewal movement, for you to experience his renewal, and to be instruments of renewal in our community. May the Lord work in us and through us to bring his renewal to this broken and weary world when these worlds collide. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling all kinds of people. As we look at these 12 disciples, thank you that they're a mess. Thank you that their relationships are a mess. Their politics are different. Thank you for the ways that you superseded all those things to build a community of people. You call individuals. Lord, if there's anybody here or watching online that just feels like there's no way that they could be a part of this thing, whether they want to pre-self-disqualify because they feel like they made too many mistakes, or they want to pre-self-disqualify because they think they're too smart or too smug or too awesome or too proud or too busy for this religious stuff, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, would you cut through that right now? And in your mercy and kindness, declare over them, speak over them, you're my type of person. Lord, will my friends who are here open themselves up to the good news that they too can be, are made to be, a Jesus-type person? Holy Spirit, would you shape us into the kind of rocks you want us to be as a community? Would we tumble well together? Would we be in this tumble at Chatham Community Church, in our small groups, and in general as a part of this larger community? Lord, would we tumble well together? Lord Jesus, would you pour the grit of your wisdom, your truth, your kindness, your forgiveness, your grace and your mercy, your resurrection power? Would you pour out the Holy Spirit, the water of the Holy Spirit? And would we pray for each other, bless each other, serve each other? Would we be shaped by your truth and your wisdom? Would you make us beautiful rocks? Lord, would you help us to know, what does it look like for us to be with you, just to be with you, just be with you, just be with you, just be with you, to be recipients of the truth and then be proclaimers and speakers of the truth, Lord? If we need to grow in our practices to grow in what's true, would you help us to do that? If there's someone around us that we need to proclaim the truth to, would you help us to be courageous, bold, but also gentle and humble, speaking the truth in love, in love, in love? Would we bring that truth to somebody around us? And then, good Father, you invite us into the same work that Jesus did, to cast out demons, to have spiritual authority over dark things and dark places. Lord, help us to be awake and alert to anything that might be coming against us. Any opposition, any place where there might be spiritual opposition, Lord, we just bind that up and cast it out in Jesus' name. If there's any opposition to Chatham Community Church, any opposition to the things that we're praying and hoping for the future, that would come against us, that would come against us as we renovate and outfit the space in Pittsburgh, as we continue to pray about moving to Siler City eventually, Lord, if there's anything that would come against Chatham Community Church, we just bind that up in Jesus' name and cast it out and pray by the cross of Christ you would open the path and make a way. Lord Jesus, would our hearts be awake to your renewal movement, the way you want to renew us individually? And Lord, if for my friends who are here who deeply sense they need something renewed, like they need their home life renewed, they need some relationships renewed, they need, again, money, career, marriage, medical stuff, Lord, or just themselves. Just Lord, for those of us who feel lost, a little confused about where we are, who we are, where we're going, Lord Jesus, you invite us to step into this roadmap for renewal. Would we be bold and courageous and humble enough to walk with you wherever you would lead us? We pray in Jesus' strong, mighty name. Amen.